Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Jonathan Owens and
Josh Newby
and John Pickens. How are you guys doing? What's up? We're filling in for Andrew this morning.
Yes, we are.
We're glad to have you guys on a holiday Monday, Martin Luther King Day. Looking forward to see how we stumble through this program this morning.
You know, 4 hours ahead of us. We got this.
Like you said, the buildup was the worst part
of really
getting
was.
Up this early. You know, I feel Andrew's pain now on what he do. He said it only takes him like 7 minutes to get here, depending on the light structure.
Well, he's got it down. he's got it down to a science.
Trust me, he does.
Yeah. He comes sliding in here sideways.
Yeah.
Well, I had to drive from the west side of town over and off Gulf Beach Highway, so I had to be out of here by 4:17 to get here. So,
oh my goodness, no.
Well, Josh, how far of a drive was it for you?
Like 8 minutes.
That's
not bad at all. Bad. I live off of Scenic over there, so just take Creighton up, and yeah, I'm here. I mean, I don't want Andrew to get any ideas that I'm going to be doing this regularly.
Right.
But,
or that you're that convenient.
Or that I'm that convenient. That's right. I want him to feel that this was really a burden for me.
Yeah.
And his friendship is the only reason I'm here. but yeah, it was like, you know, if you wake up an hour or two or three earlier than you normally do, you set multiple alarms. It's like worried about missing a flight, you know. And I was worried last night, oh, I might be able to fall asleep. I might be tossing and turning. Because that begins the downward cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get mad at yourself for not falling asleep. That anger means you can't fall asleep. But no, I fell asleep like a champ.
Yeah.
Took a little pill and that's all it took. Well, insurance policy.
Yeah, I can drink coffee. It doesn't matter. My wife jokes with me about, she's like, well, I don't know why you're drinking coffee. It's not going to do anything to keep you up. I can drink coffee and go to sleep.
Really?
Yeah, man. I drank coffee at like 7 o'clock last night.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's like, what are you doing? I said, drink a coffee. Oh, she's like, oh yeah, it doesn't affect you. 9 o'clock. I said, I've got to get up early. You know, like you said,
the
preparation. So I got in bed. I was in bed at 9 o'clock.
Same.
And then I laid there for like 30 minutes. I'm like, any other time I would be passing out on the couch at nine with a remote in my hand watching, you know, whatever, some streaming show or something.
Yeah.
John, how about you? You've been doing this for 20 something years.
Well, I've been at radio for 26 years, but this is my almost second year doing the morning show.
Yeah.
So I normally go to bed around 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Right.
But last night was kind of different because I wanted to see who won the game.
Yeah. Priorities.
Big game.
Yeah. Then it went into overtime, and they played almost a full overtime period. So
not so much.
A little tired. Yeah.
Not so much.
3 a.m. comes early for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're here at 3. So we have nothing to complain about, Josh.
That's right.
We should not be complaining.
No, we don't.
John's like, oh, God, these guys.
I know.
Amateurs. Amateur
Our
hour.
Early waker privilege is showing.
Well, Josh, what do you want to talk about this morning, man? We've got all kinds of things
man.
We can talk about. The holiday. We can talk about, current events.
MLK Day. Today's MLK Day.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the listenership is like at 5 a.m. on a bank holiday.
Does that mean we can say whatever we want?
I think so.
John's ready.
Let's do it.
With the button.
Yeah.
Tape
John up. We'll tape John up, shove him in the closet,
and we'll just have our way with it.
That's right. That's right. But no, Jonathan, how do you feel about, you know, my son is six. And so last night we were talking about how he doesn't have school tomorrow, which is today. And it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And what does that mean? And of course, he's in first grade. So he's learning the very, you know, highlights of MLK's life.
50,000 foot level.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. He helped black people have a better life and be free because they weren't being treated very well. That was essentially it. But what do you feel about his legacy some 60 odd years later?
I had this a little bit of a conversation earlier before you got here with John. Would Martin Luther King Jr. be relevant today as a black Christian leader?
Yes. That is exactly where I was hoping this conversation would go.
I'm so glad
you said that.
What do you think? I mean, do you think how would he be perceived in today's world of social media and, you know, just not you know, the typical, and I say 3, 5, and 10 because that's what it is here for us, you know, three broadcast stations providing our news and print media. I don't know that he would be as influential because there's just so many now, right? Everyone has a platform.
That's right.
So, I mean, what do you think?
I don't think he would break through. And obviously, he was a very gifted orator. You know, he was an incredible a philosopher and faith thinker. And obviously, I think one of the pivotal characters in the story of our nation. But I don't think he would break through because things are very polarizing now. He spoke the truth in an unpopular way, but truth speaking isn't what gets you clicks and views nowadays. And I approach
the unpopular way does, though.
That's true. Well, that's fair. I mean,
you've got folks like Nick Fuentes and, you know, old Charlie Kirk, you know, he spoke the truth, his truth, in a way that, you know, drove clicks. And like
the clicks of the day,
the clicks of the day, would Martin Luther King Jr. have the clicks of the day? I don't know.
I approach this as a liberal. I vote Democrat pretty consistently. And I wonder if his message would be received and tolerated by today's liberal intelligentsia, because I think that particularly the online left, as they're referred to, don't value his perspective of, you know, sort of race blindness, meritocracy. You know, you rise based on the content of your character, not the color of your skin. Very many liberals nowadays want those superficial identity markers to be the sole determinant of your success or failure, right? If you're black, you should get the position, you know, your credentials be damned. And I don't think he would be accepted. There's a Dostoevsky wrote The Brothers Karamazov, and there's this famous story called The Grand Inquisitor, where Christ comes back. Right. And he teaches his message and he performs all these miracles, and he's captured by the Grand Inquisitor of Spain and arrested and basically told your message is no longer relevant. You know, we have improved upon the Sermon on the Mount. You know, you're regressive. You're holding us back. And so the Grand Inquisitor is telling Christ the Sermon on the Mount is irrelevant. And so would today's liberal intelligentsia tell Martin Luther King Jr. the I Have a Dream speech? We've improved upon that. Sit down, be quiet. We're doing better nowadays.
Technology has you know, the ability to rerun and play and review and analyze has created a bit of a monster in folks. You know, going back to the basics of broadcast at the time, you couldn't go back and, you know, super analyze what was going on unless you happened to have your tape player plugged in recording. And at that time, it would have been, what, a reel-to-reel, you know, to record some broadcast? Or, you know, it's how technology has changed us as humanity.
Yeah.
As a people. So, John, any thoughts from you?
No, y'all are having a great conversation, but we do need to take a break now. We'll be right back on News Radio 92.3.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
A As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks Vapo Shower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity health and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Back again with us at 92.3 AM 1620 with Josh Newby, Jonathan Hello. Owens, and John Pickens.
Hola.
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 Oh, my wife would be on top. I can't do anything Spanish, man.
Oh. You okay. Get in trouble?
Well,
you have a Spanish wife?
I do.
Nice.
Honduras.
Oh. Love it.
Si, senor. She wants me to learn Spanish.
Why don't you?
Right.
Well, you just said hola. What more does she want?
Well,
thank goodness.
You know, if you have the new Apple AirPods, you can just double-click both of them.
Yep.
It's live translation.
I've done that.
So if she's mad at you and she just starts, you know, going off in Spanish.
As one does.
Yeah, just right there.
I did that in Spanish because we had a Spanish-speaking client. I work at Council on Aging of West Florida. Come in. It's been a month or 6 weeks now. And I did exactly that. You download the language so that there's no lag. You know, you don't have to depend on internet connection or anything. But you download the entire Spanish language. The woman came in. I had one AirPod in. And yeah, it live translates.
Wow.
Incredible.
I haven't kept up with this. Thanks, guys.
That might help you.
It might help your marriage, Jonathan. I'm here to help you.
Well, no, she's very
there's other reasons
in both languages.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
She has no problem telling me in English exactly what I need to know.
Any chance she's listening right now? Probably not.
Probably not.
Too early.
But probably go back and listen afterwards. Because my girls were asking me this morning, are we going to be able to hear this? I said, yeah, if you get up early. She's like, well, are they going to have that thing where you play it, you know, when you listen to Andrew at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon? I said, yeah. She's like, we can't escape Andrew. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So I'll have to ask John. Yeah, I'll have to ask John if I can, if this will be recorded. And it sounds like it will be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Podcast every hour for you.
Yeah. So hopefully Android has that technology and that option.
Wouldn't count on it.
Oh, yeah, come
that's
on.
A nice trip.
I love it.
Apple nice try,
guys.
Jonathan.
Both you guys. Yeah. And my wife, too. She's an Apple iPhone, you know, iPad, all that stuff. As the guy that's carrying an iPad.
I have my MacBook.
I'm a MacBook iPad guy, but not iPhone.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Android.
You break out of the ecosystem.
I do. I'm a
what a maverick here. What was the word that Sarah Palin popularized? Was it maverick?
Was it maverick?
She gave herself a nickname, and I thought it was I think it was maverick. Anyway, that's 25 years ago now. Wait.
No, it wasn't that long.
No, it wasn't. You're right. No, this was McCain, right? Yeah. McCain, Palin, so that would have been 18 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, but you want to get back on our conversation
about Martin Luther King?
We had a text says, Martin Luther King, in reference to Martin Luther King, he was pretty creative during his time to get his message out. I'm wondering if he would have folks on his team that would help find him the right platform and develop clickbait. Probably.
Do you think, but do you think that he, where do you think he would land politically today?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. And would he be a Christian conservative?
I don't know. Well, he'd be a Christian, of course. I wonder if he would be a conservative. Obviously, there's a long tradition in the black church of liberal activism, just like there's, and I mean painting with a very broad brush here, but just like there's a long tradition among evangelicals of conservative politics, right? I mean, would he be a Jesse Jackson type figure?
Jesse Jackson would be Jesse Jackson without Martin Luther King.
Right. I mean, who is, so, I mean, I'm trying to think of like the black intellectuals of today. There's a woman named Breanna Joy Gray, who worked on the Bernie Sanders campaign, who was a similarly gifted orator. But again, the ideas, I wonder if the ideas would break through on either side.
I don't know. It's hard to take someone from their past and apply, you know, the because there's a halo effect, right?
Of course, of
you know,
course.
Oh, there's all the good things of
that's a good point.
MLK that you know are rebroadcast and re-spoon fed to us in whatever social media stream, which goes back to our texter's question. We all live in our own reality based on technology, right? An algorithm. My kids are in private school now, and we have been to the classes on social media and how the effects of social media on our own kids. And, you know, I've heard some investigators come and speak to the adults and talk about, you know, there's so much vulnerability out there with children, and access to our kids via these platforms that you would think are only kid related. Well, I mean, flip that over to adults, right? I mean, my 32-year-old daughter might be on Instagram.
Right.
My 22-year-old daughter might be on TikTok.
Right.
I'm on Facebook.
Right.
I'm neither on TikTok or Snapchat or any of those other things. So
everything's so siloed and atomized.
It's very siloed. And I'm curious how, what reality Martin Luther King would be to, you know, which age demographic. You were talking about your daughter earlier, and you know, the 50,000 foot level of your explanation of who MLK was.
Right.
And his influence at the time. You know, it all depends on which platform, you know.
Yeah.
On how people are perceived. I'm quite sure, and not to make this about Trump, because I'm not this super Trump guy, but I mean, Trump's perception on Truth Social is very different than Trump's perception on, you know,
oh yeah,
any other, you know, siloed information of technology,
right?
Whether it's X or whether it's
you sort know. Of find your audience, whereas in the other old days the audience found you. And we don't really, other than Trump, unfortunately, you know, we don't have a sort of common political sheet that we're all working from, that we're all digesting, you know. You don't watch AOC's live streams.
Right.
You know, I don't either, but I have to assume that people do. You don't watch
Nick
Fuentes.
What do you mean? You're a liberal. You know,
that's right. I have to watch AOC.
I have to put you in a box.
Yeah,
right. Which is what you referenced earlier about, oh, I'm a liberal. I vote typically Democrat. And you and I were talking about this. Mm-hmm. I mean, Josh and I, outside of this show, are friends also, and we actually have conversations, you know, because he may be on one side of the political aisle and I'm on the other. But there's a lot of things that we have more in common than you realize. And,
absolutely.
You know, people want to put you into a box. And what is a liberal? What is the liberal of the 60s?
Right.
Right, during Martin Luther King.
Exactly.
What is a liberal today?
Right.
You know, if you ask someone on the right, if you say a liberal, like, oh, they, you know, they plug in whatever their social media theme
had
given them.
That's right.
So what kind of liberal,
right,
if Martin Luther King would have been a liberal, what kind of liberal would he be today? Or if he was a conservative, what kind of conservative?
He had some extreme views. He definitely had some very socialist adjacent views, which I think gets erased a lot. But again, he also was very meritocratic in his approach to, you know, social progress and social mobility. So I do wonder.
Content of your character, not the color
absolutely.
Of your skin.
Absolutely. I think he would split the difference, and I think he would not be considered orthodox today, which, of course, he wasn't back then either.
No, which, you know, made him rise to
that's
the top,
right.
You know,
that's right.
And made him a target.
True, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
John, any thoughts?
No, y'all are doing a
We're
great
killing
job.
It, Jonathan.
I am enjoying this. This is actually a really good conversation. No, I'm enjoying it.
What else would you like to cover today, Josh? Since I know you said the chance favors the prepared. So,
many topics.
You have
here.
So
that's
many
right,
topics.
That's right. Did you watch any of the police chief interviews here locally?
Only what was covered here on the news. I didn't, dial in. I don't live in the city. I own a business in the city. So I'm getting the cue from John.
No, it's just 1 minute.
1 minute.
I was just letting you know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hey, wrap it up. I don't live in the city.
Yeah.
But
I think this will open up an interesting discussion when we come back about, talent selection
mm-hmm.
and, local knowledge versus maybe more depth of knowledge from outside the area and what should be prioritized in
I'm
municipal
ready for
government.
You, I'm ready.
Right, I'm ready.
I'm ready for local knowledge.
All right.
I'm CJ Pava. Anti-ICE protesters take over a church in St. Paul, Minnesota. Fox's Doug Luzader.
This particular incident is now triggering a federal investigation. A group of protesters stormed and disrupted a Sunday church service because of one of the pastor's possible connections to ICE. The U.S. Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights announced there would be a federal probe over this.
The church's lead pastor, Jonathan Parnell, criticized the protests as shameful for interrupting worship services. President Trump weighing the use of 1,500 troops for a possible deployment in Minneapolis. Senior defense official tells Fox. Now, the troops will come from the Army's 11th Airborne Division, specializing in cold Arctic conditions. High-speed passenger train derail smashes into another in southern Spain. Sunday night, at least 39 people are dead. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 30 degrees right now. We've got clear skies here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with meteorologist Marion Caldwell. That's up here in just a few seconds. Well, we are in the middle of a historic winter season here across the panhandle. Snow was reported yesterday at Pensacola International Airport. Of course, that is the second straight year and the first time Florida has ever recorded snowfall in back-to-back years. Yesterday's snowfall wasn't much. The National Weather Service did report less than an inch. Last year's snowfall, of course, much higher with the snowpocalypse, with more than 9 inches of snow over 2 days. Senator Rick Scott says he's got a plan to lower health care costs across the state. Scott was on Fox News yesterday discussing a bill, the More Affordable Care Act. Scott said it would direct money to the people directly instead of insurance companies and make prices more transparent. Scott said Obamacare failed and extending the subsidies would mask the rising costs. Well, Baptist Medical Group has opened a new primary care clinic in Milton. The clinic is located at 4244 Avalon Boulevard. It'll be led by board-certified physician Dr. Gurwinder Kaur. Hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Appointments are available by calling that clinic. Escambia County is warning about fraudulent emails claiming to be from the planning board requesting immediate payment for rezoning applications. Officials say if you get that, don't respond, pay any invoices, or click on any links. Legitimate planning and zoning invoices come from myescambia.com email addresses. Anybody who receives a scam email should report that to the Federal Trade Commission. A Crestview man is facing weapons charges after investigators responded to a shooting at his home. 54-year-old Reginald Bradshaw is charged with possession of a weapon by a convicted felon. The investigation began January 15th when a gun accidentally discharged during a fight between two women, causing a non-life-threatening shoulder injury. Bradshaw admitted to owning firearms. Deputies found 7 guns and ammunition during a search warrant. 5:34 here, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
cold on the other side of that winter weather system that swept through over the weekend, seeing temperatures in the 20s and 30s this morning, making way for low 50s for highs this afternoon going into tonight. Temperatures plummet back down into the 30s, but as the week goes on, those temperatures will moderate back into the 60s. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Morning Weather Forecast.
Thank you very much, Marion. 30 degrees right now. We've got clear skies. Our next news in 30 minutes, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. X said in a statement that Elon Musk's AI chatbot Grok will not be able to edit photos to portray real people in revealing clothing in places where that is illegal. The announcement follows a global backlash over sexualized images of women and children, including bans and warnings by some governments. Buoyed by yet another blockbuster earnings report and a new U.S.-Taiwan trade agreement, Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing company is poised to accelerate its multi-billion dollar expansion in Arizona. The world's largest contract chipmaker has already committed $165 billion in the U.S. However, TSMC executives have signaled that spending will rise even further. Energy Secretary Chris Wright says the U.S. is securing about 30% higher prices for Venezuelan crude, as the country has started selling oil from the Latin American nation after capturing its former president, Nicolas Maduro. Washington completed its first sale of Venezuelan oil, valued at about $500 million, with more expected in the coming days and weeks. That's your money now.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7, wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed, then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Get some Spy Hunter there. That sounds like the Spy Hunter theme for the kids old enough to know what Spy Hunter video game is.
Oh, I missed that game.
I'm only 37, John.
You don't even know what video
is. GoldenEye, you know? GoldenEye was mine. Yeah.
Spy Hunter was like this little car you drove, and, you know, the screen moved, the car stayed in the same position.
And you tried to get in the back of that truck.
Yeah, to get in the truck. Yeah, man.
Sounds super lame.
It is super
old.
Yeah, like Pong.
Gross.
Yeah. Tetris, things like that.
I remember Tetris. All right, so we wanted to, we want to talk about the police chief selection. Obviously, there are three candidates. Mayor D.C. Reeves is supposedly deciding this week. One local candidate, Eric Goss, well-liked by the current staff of PPD, endorsed by the union. And then we have two outside candidates. And we were sort of talking off-air about what value, if any, there is to this sort of internal selection, the local boy. What do you say, Jonathan?
So back to what I was saying before the break, I don't have a dog in the fight, I guess. Is that the right terminology? I don't live in the city.
Right.
I don't have a business in the city. We have the Elbow Room. Here's my shameless plug for the Elbow Room. So from a policing standpoint, I want to have good police coverage there. Yeah. Does the police chief make the change the environment? Sure, it does. You know, can change the environment. The perception is, you know, it's a lot of that stuff's emotional. But really, it's not up to me, right? You just said mm-hmm. it's up to the mayor to make a choice on who he chooses to be that that police chief. So I haven't really been paying attention to those interviews. I heard a couple of clips from the candidates, and I liked what I heard. I mean, you have an awesome thing about Pensacola. We're on the map now.
Yes, the actual map.
We are actually on the map. Yeah. From a lot of different ways. I mean, we've got American Magic here. We've got all kinds of, we're getting international press on all these different things. Visit Pensacola has marketed us for the past, you know, two decades to areas outside of here, Chicago, New York, Northeast. I mean, and now we've got candidates. You know, one of the one of the candidates is from Chicago, the Chicago police force,
and one's from Tampa. Is that right?
Or so, and I think he was a gentleman that I overheard the a portion of his interview, and I like what I heard. But again, it's not up to me. It's up to DC to make that decision.
Sure.
Do I think that local, just because you're local and you're endorsed by the local police union and you're, you know, all the locals say you're the right guy, does that mean you're the right guy? I want the right guy for the job, guy, girl, whoever it may be for the job, not just because you're from here or, you know, you've got, you know, 20 years worth of experience doing it here. God knows that that's a kind of worn out trope here.
It is. And it's been abused, certainly locally.
I'm from here.
Philosophically,
10 years.
Right. Philosophically, though, because, you know, Mayor Robinson brought in Eric Randall years ago, and that ultimately did not work out. Philosophically, all else being equal, the insider, the well-liked local, or the outsider perspective?
Philosophically, all things being equal, you get some points on local.
Okay.
You know? Just because you've got relationships already there,
sure.
and your network is your net worth, right?
Right.
Your connection with people and being able to pick the phone up and make, you know, ring. A new guy coming in has to build all kinds of new relationships, which
it's an uphill battle.
It is. It's an uphill battle. I would definitely agree with that. It as someone being from here,
you know, right.
I was born here. I've got a tremendous network of people, and people call me all the time and ask me, hey, who do I call for this? Who do I call for that? There's value to that.
Yeah.
You know, and especially as a police chief, being able to know, you know, we have an issue on Ninth Avenue and we've got whatever that issue, make up an issue. I know the people that own the businesses around there. I can make a phone call and say, hey, have you guys seen this person? Or, you know, from an investigation standpoint. So, yeah, there is a benefit to that. But, of course, I want, you know, a wide selection to choose from.
Sure.
Because it also brings up the local guy, too. He's like, okay, well, I got to compete with somebody that's got, you know, 30 years worth of experience in a city that has dealt with
a larger metropolitan area.
That has dealt with the things that we haven't necessarily dealt with here. Pensacola likes to think that, you know, oh gosh, we experience the same thing as everybody else. No, we don't.
No.
We do not.
No.
There's a reason why people move here, because they are getting away from something else to come here because we have all these wonderful things.
Right.
So,
what do you think about the mass migration to Florida, Jonathan?
As a real estate professional,
They say it's basically the population of Orlando moves here every year.
Yeah, the selfish local side of me wants to say, "Sorry, Florida's full. Don't come."
Yeah,
you know.
Sure.
But the real estate professional side of me, you know, I hear people, even when I worked in local politics here, and also hear it now. People, oh well, I want to have XYZ. I want to have the insert national brand name chain restaurant here.
Right. Costco.
Hey, and my wife and I were having this conversation this weekend.
Yeah.
She said, Costco's here.
Mm-hmm.
Pensacola's not the same. She came from New Orleans.
Okay.
We met in New Orleans. And New Orleans is a different metro market than
for
here.
For sure.
And you can get just about anything you want from a shopping standpoint. And her perspective is really good for me because, again, I'm from here. What she sees as far as, you know, opportunities and the way things have changed here over the past, you know, 10 years.
Yeah.
Pensacola has grown a lot, and the mass migration to Florida. Well, Florida's really kind of full in the south end, right?
So oh, yeah.
It's rising to the top of Florida. Pensacola has been discovered, much to your glee or chagrin, depending on which side.
The central time zone part of Florida.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is always fun to explain to people. I'm in Florida. Okay, well, we'll call you this.
I know, we're in the central time zone.
Really?
Multiple people across this. I always have to remind them, remember, we're in central time. We're in central time. Because, yeah, you know, if you're west of Tallahassee, you don't exist to the rest of the state.
To the rest of Florida.
Yeah.
But to someone that is relocating here.
Oh, yeah, we definitely exist.
We definitely exist because you get all the benefits that go with Florida.
That's right.
We have.
Right.
You know, the no state income tax and all of those things, and those, which has always been great for retirees. That's why people, you know, come here. The challenge that we've had in Panhandle are like, oh, people, it's still cold here. You know, it gets cold here. Now we actually have snow here.
I know. I think 2 years makes a trend.
It does make a trend. And like you were saying in the break, if not for the snowpocalypse.
Right.
That's right.
Snowpocalypse or Snowmageddon?
That's the
word. Which team are you on?
Apocalypse.
I'm also Apocalypse.
Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Not Snowmageddon?
No.
If we had not had Snowmageddon last year.
Yeah.
This would have been all the rage this morning.
Oh, absolutely. It's all we talk about for 4 hours.
Our dusting of snow on the couch cushions outside.
That's right.
And you said you made a snowman?
Yeah, we had to, you made the joke, you know, we had to gather several neighbors' yards worth of snow. But we were able to erect one that was probably about a foot tall.
Right.
You know, the three layers and everything. And it was cute, but it melted within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a race against the clock because you could see the sun and the shadows shifting. And as soon as the sun hit a slice of snow, 10 minutes later, that snow was gone. So my son was he was expecting last year.
Right.
Because, I mean, what a memory to have as a five-year-old last year, you know, this huge amount of snow. And so he woke up, where's the snow? Where's the snow? It's like, well, that is the snow, son. So
my girls are the same way. They're like, did it snow last night? I was like, yeah, there it is. Right.
Yeah,
there
define snow.
And we're like, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah, this was not as exciting as it was supposed to be.
Yes. But we were only given like a 10% chance that it would snow. So really, we should be grateful.
Yeah, well, and I was only supposed to get to the north end of the county. And
that's
I'm in Perdido. The fact that I woke up and I saw that there was snow on the cushion, I'm like, oh,
it's a miracle. Snow.
I had to go back and check the Ring camera to make sure I could see it. It's snowing.
That's funny. So all else being equal, you'd give it to the local guy.
I'd probably give it to the local guy.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Well, we should just text Mayor Reeves. We know he listens to the show
at
5:46 on a holiday.
Jonathan and Josh approve.
That's right.
Eric
Goss.
The local guy.
That's right.
Eric Goss is the one. Don't take that because I have not done any of my homework. This is not an endorsement anybody that gets elected or appointed to that position. We'll work with whoever.
Do we need to take a break or do we have more time to vibe?
No, 5:46 right here on News Radio 92.3.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, hear from local community leaders on how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. With 4 Sunny's locations serving the News Radio listening area, Navy Boulevard, Pine Forest, 9th Avenue, and Pace. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
This is Jonathan Owens, not Andrew McKay, and Josh Newby, and John Pickens. These voices don't sound familiar to you. It's because Andrew decided to take a holiday or a break or a vacation, whatever we're saying here these days.
You have a great radio voice, Jonathan.
Do I?
It's silky smooth. You know, you got good bass.
Okay.
I like it.
Oh, thanks.
It's very comforting.
I feel, I don't know. Thank you.
Of course, yeah. I mean, anything at 5:49 a.m. is gonna want to lull me to sleep. But
it's the coffee.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, for you guys that are waking up 5:49 this morning on a holiday, that's why you're hearing my voice and Josh.
That's right.
So
I think we're really killing it thus far.
We've made it 49 minutes so far.
We're nailing it. We're 25% there.
Right. We're almost there. We were talking before the break about. The incoming police chief. Again, it's up to DC,
the mayor,
on who he chooses. It's unique about Pensacola and a strong mayor. He gets to make the choice.
Mayor form of government. You love to see it. What do you we were talking a little too about the mass migration to Florida. I'm curious how property tax reform is going to affect or not affect that. What's your opinion? I assume this is an area we can disagree on. Where do you land on?
You guys can't see this, but you might hear it in his voice.
Property
he's
taxes.
Got a big Cheshire cat grin. I think he's trying to stoke the political fire.
Conflict makes good radio.
Of course it does.
Abolish all taxes. Is that your?
No, I'm not abolishing all taxes. I mean, taxes have to. You know, the government's here to do what the people can't do for themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't build roads. You know, you and I might be able to go out and operate a piece of equipment. I don't know if you can.
You were dragging an excavator behind you the other day.
I know. But we have to have some sort of taxes to maintain, you know, basic infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that'd be a novel concept if we actually use taxes to maintain basic infrastructure.
Fair enough.
You know,
that's fair.
I don't think we do a good job at that here locally. So removing property taxes. That's not going to, I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
Especially if there's several different ballot initiatives that are on the ballot,
right,
of different flavors of the ice cream. You know, you don't, you know, I want strawberry, I want vanilla, I want chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then nothing,
right.
You know, nothing gets the majority
correct
threshold to, and it was all just a, you know, make some news.
Right.
Legislation.
Yeah,
so,
throw some red meat.
Let's go down the road. If we abolish, or you know, decrease homeowners' property taxes, what's the net effect of it? Well, for the areas that have a lot of homesteaded properties, I think it will, you know, make a big difference. Talking about small towns,
yeah,
I think it'll have a big impact on much smaller areas than we have.
Well, you're a county guy. Famously worked at the county. Was the aide to a commissioner. And so I don't know. You know more than me. The local revenue mix, how would that affect a county like Escambia?
Well, I mean, we have a lot of non-homesteaded property.
Okay.
I tell you, I live in Perdido, but Perdido specifically, and Pensacola Beach too. I mean, how many, I'm not trying to just make it about Perdido, but even Pensacola Beach, how many of the properties out there are homesteaded properties? You know, what would that I don't know. This is a question for, you know, Scott Lunsford and Bubba Peters. Give us the math on what it looks like. And I think that's probably going to come up in conversations in the Committee of the Whole here soon at the county level. How does it affect the city of Pensacola? I don't know that it affects the city of Pensacola.
I don't think
really.
It probably affects. I think you're probably right. It doesn't affect the city proper. But, I mean, you have more familiarity with the county budget than 99% of county residents here. Do you see it being
money that these guys are, you're taking away from the local elected leaders that have spent last year.
Right. Right?
I mean, we didn't go with the rollback rate this year.
Right.
So the 30 something plus increase in budget over the past 5 years annually, taking any portion of that away is, oh golly gee, we're just going to collapse. No, I don't think we're going to collapse.
Okay.
Will, you know, some services or some, you know, monies that people are expecting to get, maybe the nonprofits.
Sure. Outside agencies.
Outside agencies that have been used to receiving taxpayer dollars as part of their budgeting process.
Right.
Maybe that gets, you know, cut back.
Yeah.
Something has to be cut. Whenever you remove money from a budget, something has to be cut, especially if you're used to spending it, right?
Yeah.
Either it's staff, it's, support, it's outside agencies, things, discretionary spends. It will be interesting to see if it does pass, which I don't think it will.
No, I don't think it will either.
I don't think it'll get there. And if it does, then what's that mean?
But do you think? But do you sort of want it to pass in a way that it would force a measure of austerity from county government?
I would like for it to pass, especially being a homesteaded property owner. I mean, I'll take a discount.
Sure,
that'd be great.
Oh, sure.
I mean, fewer taxes, I think, would be good. It would also force some the elected leaders to take a more of a hard look at how they spend.
Yeah.
How they spend and what they focus on, so it'll be interesting to see. But I don't think we're going to get there.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's purely red meat.
Yeah,
for the base
political fodder.
Yes, yes, we love it. Do we need to go to traffic? Is it early?
Not until the 6 o'clock hour.
Wow.
Oh, see,
guys,
I
was serving it up to you on a silver platter, Sean.
Sorry.
All right, what do you give me your prognostication for session? We're in the thick of it. The second week of legislative session.
More of the same.
You think more infighting, more
everything,
more ego swinging?
From my perspective, of course, I've never served at the state legislature, but from being someone that pays attention to local politics and watching, the decisions have already been made on how it's going to go. Right? It's not... there's no, great thing that's going to be, a big shocker that's going to happen.
Sure.
Over the next, we're in a lame duck.
Yes, we are.
With
the lamest of all ducks.
Oh,
here we go.
And I'm not end all be all with DeSantis either, just like I'm not end all be all with Trump. But, DeSantis did some good things in his tenure here.
During COVID, I will give him his flowers with COVID.
His flowers.
I will give him his flowers early in his first term. He did a lot environmentally in South Florida that sort of pleasantly surprised me. But I think as a person who receives general revenue appropriated funds mm-hmm. through the state legislature and works very closely with his cabinet, Department of Elder Affairs, Agency for Healthcare Administration, Department of Health, I do not think he is a good executive. I do not think he is a good administrator. I think he wanted this to be a trampoline to higher office.
And he jumped too soon.
And I just don't think he enjoys the day-to-day of managing the state, which is what the governor is supposed to do.
Yeah. You and I, again, are pretty close, really aligned there.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what DeSantis does next.
Do you think he'll do next?
I don't know.
You think he'll run again? You think he's going to try to primary Vance in 28? Or excuse me, he's going to primary Trump in 28?
Primary Trump in 28. Oh, man, you are. You listen to a lot of the wrong news, I think.
Steve Bannon said,
Steve Bannon's...
And he's going to run too, apparently.
He's a little far out there, too.
Just a little.
What's DeSantis going to do? I mean, is there an open Senate seat for him to run for? I mean, will his ego let him do that now that he's ran for president? And, I find that in some politicians that have ran for higher offices that have, outpunt their coverage.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I won't run for that. Why would I? That's beneath me. Well, dude, you haven't won.
Yeah.
I know. Especially folks that have won or ran and lost. And, well, why don't you run for, county commissioner or city council or whatever if you really want to be involved. So to try to guess at what DeSantis is going to do, I have no idea.
I think he's going to go the Gates route. I know. I don't think his ego will...
The Gates route.
Matt Gates, excuse me.
Do expand on what your perception of the Gates route is. Move to California and go start a radio show?
The Gates route is, outkick your coverage, mm-hmm. as we said, and ultimately be consigned to be a TV commentator and some mid-level DOD person. So I think he'll settle sort of in the middle of political commentary slash lobbying or operations. He cannot be president. He doesn't have the personality for it. He doesn't have the retail politics for it. Say what you will about Trump. Trump is incredible in front of the camera and with people. DeSantis is not.
Yeah, and we're coming up on shutting down our conversation. But I want to get back on that. Following up Trump is going to be really interesting to see who gets into a race to follow up that guy.
Let's talk about that in the next hour.
Okay, let's do it.
That's right. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.